Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Macaroni,
bitch, I'm
where
busy.
Are you?
Okay, wait, before you put your camera on. So, Bob has gotten his hair did. She done got a man weave. And I have not seen it. You didn't tell me you're getting it today. So I'm about to, I'm about to see it and whatever. Are we going to count down?
Well, before we do, I want to talk about when I first saw yours. I remember when you got your man weave and I was, we were in the airport. Monet, I don't think you said anything. You just showed up and I was like, oh my God. What is going on?
And we will put a video in to show y'all. I had the videos of you wearing it. You were doing stunts and shows when I came with my man weave. You were doing too much. You were so rude.
Well, what was I doing?
You were like, you started filming me, you started recording me.
No, okay, just so everyone's clear, I was vlogging everyone. So it's me, Larry, Tizlarm, like everyone was, so it's not, I did not start filming Monet because she showed up with hair. Everyone
I'm
was filming.
There's I had footage. Hair on and you were filming me.
And if you look at the film, you'll see the film starts with me and Larry, me and DJ Two-Face in my apartment before I even knew Monet did her thing. Anyway, are you ready for my hair?
Yeah, I'm going to calm down from three. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Reveal yourself!
Why are you laughing?
you look like that picture with you and Justin when you have y'all have the Christmas one with y'all have the sweaters on. Bob, I'm gagging. Oh my God, you look so. I thought you were gonna get the Killmonger.
Yeah. So I went to Mickey the Barber, who we mentioned on the podcast before, and Mickey did not have that unit in. She didn't have the unit to do that. So we were like discussing, what should I get? Should I get waves? And I ended up with this little curly, little mini fro moment. It's not even a fro.
How long? Okay, like tell us the process. How long did it take you? I want to know all the things.
Okay, so this took about 3 hours to do. I was also stopping. That's talking. We were like talking and chatting. It probably would have been an hour and a half if we weren't talking and kikiing and cackling and vlogging the whole thing.
Is Mickey queer?
Mickey is queer. Mickey identifies as a lesbian.
Work.
Yes.
And is Mickey close to us, or was it like a trek?
So it's in the Arts District.
I don't know what that means.
It was about 30 minutes away from where I am.
That's not bad at all.
You know, not bad.
Okay, wait. Turn around. Give us a full 360, bitch. Turn around.
Okay, so here's the.
Oh my God, that looks so good, Roberta. I can't take it. I can't. Bitch, girl, these things are so good. I would never know that that was not your real hair.
Honestly, it looks amazing. So Mickey and I were talking. We had this plan because, like, to be honest, so I haven't even had it for. I've had this for a very short amount of time, so I don't really know.
Okay, bitch. How long you, I can actually manage with. And you, yeah, I mean, you have to sleep with a durag. You got to like put like your little oil, so your little sheens.
I can't wear a durag. I actually can't wear a durag because mine is not. Because it will smush my hair. Mine is like pretty dense, so I actually have to just wear a bandana around this part, like a bandana around the edges.
you are like the Tupac. Black bitch. You like a black girl from the 90s. I love it. I fucking Bob. It looks so good. You look so good.
Thank you. So I'm gonna be wearing. By the way, I am wearing this to the gym tomorrow morning.
Oh, honey, that's when I okay. So Bob, you know me.
You're like according to Monet, the gym is when you really put this bitch to the test, honey. This is when you know you me. Really find you know out me. You
I
that
am
life.
Sweatisha McSweaterson, and let me tell you something. I would sweat so much that the water would start to pour from under the unit, and would just be like a pool of water just falling.
Well, I mean, I'm not as sweaty as you, but I'm not sweaty. I'm sweatier than most people, I feel. So
yeah.
we're going to get into that. We're going to find out how she is. But anyway, yeah, here's my girl. So it felt weird because I was growing. You know this process when you're growing out your
yes.
hair, you're girl. Hiding. I mean,
girl,
you are at every corner. Pictures, because you don't want people to see the mess you're growing on your head. So me and her were talking, and we're like, honestly, I kind of want to after this one, I was like, maybe down the line I will, because she had this one that's like black and white, and I was like, what if I do a Cruella de Vil moment? So here's my idea: I get a Cruella de Vil outfit made, I get one in drag, and I do Cruella de Vil out of drag. So I'm like, Cruella de Vil is a drag queen. This is her in drag. This is her out of drag. That could be a moment.
I want to do, so I want to get one too. I want to do a full blonde moment though. I want to do blonde or do like caramel brown. Like, so I'm going to be one color, hair, skin, everything one color, monochromatic.
You should go to Mickey.
I'll go to Mickey. Mickey's like one of the best ones. But I've seen Mickey has done like low, low, low seasons. I'm like, how is it so unclockable? It's really good. Mickey does really good work.
So. When she does a low Caesar, she's actually hand laying the hair. So it's not a unit. This is a piece. When she does a low Caesar, she's actually laying the hair individually by hand. But what she's saying is that hairstyle really does not last any more than 2 weeks. And that is taking extreme, extreme care of it. And it only lasts for 2 weeks. This can last for like a month. I don't know that I'm going to last a month.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to put wigs on?
Well, I don't have any gigs until January. I don't have any gigs until the new year.
I was saying, but Bob, okay, but let's say you do this and you love it. You're like, oh my God, I have my mojo back, and you want to keep on doing this. Can you wear this with wigs?
Yeah, I think you can. I'm pretty sure you can.
How are you gonna pin the wigs in and stuff?
I mean, I never pin. You think how do I don't pin my wigs in now?
Bob, because we're bald, because so it grips to your head. But when you have something like that, it's creating space, and the wigs are gonna fit on your head differently. You're gonna have to pin them in.
But ask the Vivian.
You are so rude. Oh my God!
I'm sitting here with a fucking toupee. I'm sitting with a toupee on myself. But honestly, this part is really the main feature.
Oh, it's everything. It's fierce, bitch. Bitch, you look, it looks so fucking good. You're about to get all the tray, honey. You're about to get all the pussy.
Honey, the comment section is looking thirsty, honey. No, I'm just kidding. But also, this is such a departure from how I normally look, because I normally don't have any hair anywhere on my head.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I'm getting
and now I have
facial.
A full beard. And I wanted to do this hair while I had this beard. I was like, I think I want to do the two together. And anyway, I love it. I think it looks really good. I'll find out if this feels like something I could actually upkeep and do for a long period of time. Because already, just as she was describing, I was like, this feels like a lot of work.
Like what? And like what is
it's the head tie and the keeping your head, like washing your face, but not getting your hair wet. And like you can't get wet at all. You know what I mean? I mean, I think you can get it wet, but it's like a whole thing. She was like, just keep your hair wrapped in the shower, do all this. You basically, it's a weave. You have to treat it like a weave.
You see, that's my problem. I gym to or I so when I got mine, I was like the first day I didn't go to the gym, obviously, and I was like the second day I was like, I'm going to the gym. And then I would kept on going to the gym, and it started to get so itchy. It was so, my skin was so irritated under it from like the sweating and not being able to like, I guess, cleanse that area. It really irritated my scalp. And it took my scalp a while. I had like really a bad breakout. It took my scalp a while to recover, like a couple of months.
Oh my God. Well, I'm also, if it was warmer, actually maybe I will. I think I want to try to test this hair out. I want to go swimming. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go hiking. I'm going to like put this hair to the test. I think maybe my vlog will be me like testing this hair out and seeing how it withstands with me trying my best to take care of it, but also like actually like putting this hair to the test.
Again, and I'll tell y'all don't know. So what I found out, there are a lot of basketball players do this. They have these fucking, they have man weaves in it. And bitch, we out here thinking that they are living the best life, which you are. There's no problem with man weaves, which people, I wear wigs for a living, literally. So there's no problem with it. But a lot of people have man weaves on more than y'all think.
I mean, if these basketball players are doing it and they're sweating, then hell, if they can do it with basketball.
But also, bitch, they're making like $83 million a year. Bitch, they probably change it every week.
But you want to be up in, honestly, we had a really great conversation. I kind of want to bring Mickey on the podcast. We had a great conversation about like how a lot of her clients are almost exclusively gay men. The ones who don't need the weaves, because they just don't want to go to barbershops.
Toxic fucking barbershop. Barbershops are terrible. I used to hate them as a kid.
Yeah.
My faggoty ass.
So she's like, yeah, a lot of people just don't want to go to a barbershop. They'd rather be with a queer person, and it just feels better to be able to talk to another queer person instead of being in, like, barbershops are they're horrible. Like, for a queer person, I'm sure for straight people it's fun. Woo, yay, congratulations. But for black queer people, especially, I can't speak for, I don't know what white barbershops are like, but for black queer people, barbershops can be.
I don't know.
I bet y'all just be up in a doo-wopping barbershop quartets in the corner. I love to get my hair cut. Yes, I do. I love to get my hair cut. Yes, I do.
Shut the fuck up.
But for black people, black queer people, a barbershop can be a very traumatizing place. To be honest, I am serving this look right now. This is
God. I see. Bitch, first of all, I'm looking at the camera. I'm like, I know this nigga is not looking at me. Bitch, you're looking at yourself. I know you're looking at yourself. Well, you are.
Okay, were you looking at yourself when you woman. First got, when you first got your hair done?
Oh, yeah, bitch. I couldn't stop looking at it. I loved it. It was crazy. You're living. You love it. Ooh,
how long
ooh,
you
fucking
how
love
long
it.
Did you keep yours? How long did you keep yours?
I want to say maybe like about, bitch, I kept it in maybe like 2 weeks.
No.
I had the video of me ripping it off at the Amsterdam airport when we went for sibling rivalry.
Wait, did I only see you for, I hadn't seen you for 2 weeks?
What do you mean?
I saw you at the airport. That's when I saw you. That's when I first saw the hair was at the airport. I didn't see you for 2 weeks.
Bob, are you forgetting? These are back in the days when we were traveling. We weren't always in town at the same time, bitch. We were always doing our own thing.
No, you was avoiding me. You was hanging out with Kim. You and Kim and Plastique was hanging out at the time.
Wait, I had to find the video.
I bet a dollar y'all was.
Jay, I don't know if I want to put this on the podcast. This video is very embarrassing. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll show you.
Are you going to show me? You say you're going to show me?
Yeah, okay, but Jay, do something with my screen or something. Look at me.
This would be a Patreon exclusive. Only the patrons can see Monet ripping the piece off. wait, show me. Wait, was it hurting? Was that why you couldn't do it?
Yeah, it hurts so
wait,
bad.
Turn it more to the middle.
It's like a tight. It's like a fucking adhesive. It hurts so
well, why
bad.
Why didn't you? Well, why didn't you? Oh, I was gonna say why didn't you use a solvent, because you bitch you were in the airport.
I was in the airport, and I remember you and we were sitting right next to each other in first class, and my hair was scratching so bad. I was just like hitting my head so bad. So we got to the answer to the airport, and I was like, I can't, and I disappeared to the bathroom, and I came back, and I took my weave off, and so all
Mickey
of y'all were
said,
like, this bitch is crazy.
Mickey said that it's not actually the it's not actually the sweat that would make your hair itch. It is the hair growing back. It's the hair growing underneath the glue that makes your head itch.
Oh, girl. Uh-uh.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, so I think it's time to get into giving some advice.
Yeah, this is, like I said, this is Sibling Advisory. We are back. You all really seem to enjoy our new segment. Thank you so much for showing us so much love and support. You always show us love here at Sibling Rivalry. And now here at Sibling Advisory, we're going to get it popping. So you want to go first? You want me to go first, Mo?
I'd like to go first. All right, so let's take a listen to our audio advisory submission.
Hi, Sibling Advisory. My name is James, and I want to get your guys' opinion on some very petty high school drama.
Oh, God, high school
drama. So I have these two friends that really do not like each other. Let's call them M and V. M is spreading rumors about V. She's taking pictures with V's ex to make her jealous. She is turning mutual friends against V. And I feel bad because I want to tell V about the things that M's doing because she doesn't really know. But me and V have only been friends for a couple of months, whereas me and M have been friends for a while, and we're definitely closer. And M has had my back during times when I was not doing the right thing. So I don't really know what I should do. What do you guys think?
What was that one?
It was SZA. It was your favorite song on the weekend. Petty, you know, high school drama. Oh, that brings me back. Oh, this is so high school. Bitch, I used to engage in a lot of this behavior. You might be shocked.
It could not be further from my high school experience. I was the president of the drama club, but there was no drama in our club, honey.
That's a lie. Arts kids are so dramatic, and there's always drama in art school. Are you joking?
Not me, girl. Listen. I'm telling you, I keep telling you, I was a very innocent kid. I was not sneaking off and sucking dick and doing all that crazy stuff. I had one girlfriend, and I was very monogamous to my one girlfriend. We were not pettying. We were not. I was not Mr. Steel Girl. There was no tomfoolery or shenanigans going on with me anyway. I'm sure the other kids were probably acting wild, but not me. Yeah. Is this a high school? This is a high schooler.
Yeah, this is high school. This is very standard high school drama, for sure.
Yeah, well, you seem to be the expert, so I'll let you go first, and I'll give my advice after you.
Well, you know, I am, Bob and I have discussed this on the podcast about being ride or die and, like, who the friends, like, you really ride for and do things for. But it doesn't sound like you are ride or die for M or V. Yes, you're closer to M, but it doesn't sound like she's, like, or they are, like, your best friend or, like, you're, like, homie. For example, if M was Bob and V was, I don't know, fucking Layla McQueen, I would ride for Bob, and Bob and I would have conversations about, bitch, you're being messy. I think that you can have a conversation with M that M is being messy, but I don't think you need to go and tell on M to V. because that's just going to make more drama. And yes, you are going to be, you're going for like a the righteous thing and like trying to put everyone out there and let V know what's being said about her. But that's going to stir up more drama. And possibly, I mean, I don't know how about it y'all are at your high school, but I could possibly start a fight between M and V. And then you're going to be right in the middle of it because you told V what M, that it was M saying the stuff. So I think you should tell M, girl, you've been really messy. You need to stop doing this because I don't know what the rumors are, though. Like, is she saying like she's like sucking, like she's saying that she's sucking this boy's dick? Like, I don't know like what the drama is.
Well, I was hearing like taking pictures with the ex and stuff. I agree with Monet. I mean, I just to read just a second that you can, in my opinion, being a real ride or die, being someone's real friend is letting them know when they're being messy and yes. not standing up for them when they're in the wrong. When you're a real friend, you're like, hey, these are the areas you can improve upon, and this is where it's getting a little messy. That's to me, that's what real friendship is, you know?
Yeah, yes. So I think talk to M, be like, M, you're being messy, like doing with the thing with the boyfriend. Like, girl, you need to like, girl, come on now. But I don't think you need to get yourself involved much. And tell on it, M. Yeah, you're doing too much.
Yeah, because then you're making their drama your drama. And baby, you, let me tell you right now, I don't need extra drama in my life, despite what you hear me say here on this podcast. We got enough. Me and Monet got enough drama.
Yeah, Bobby and drama too. Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to our next one. All right, dear Bob and Monet, I'm a black queer woman in charge of a. Oh, by the way, just so everyone knows. As a reminder, this is our new segment. It's called Sibling Advisory, and we do want you all to send us some audio submissions. We will have a little description at the end of this episode telling you how to send in audio submissions. All right, here we go. Dear Bob Monet, I'm a black queer woman in charge of a small team at a major tech company. My team is racially diverse, but there aren't any black people on it. I sometimes feel pressure from external forces, friends, family, coworkers, and their teams that there aren't enough black people working for me. It's not a purposeful thing that happened, and I feel like I do a lot of other things to increase black representation in my company. I sometimes feel like I shouldn't have to justify myself to other people, but I'm also aware that I've grown up with some internalized racism, and I'm trying to leave space to listen to the critiques of other people of color. How do I navigate this and hold myself accountable? Do I even need to? It's sincerely
clear-coded.
You want me to take this one first?
Yeah, girl, I know you want to.
So I have a creative team on the show We're Here that is made up of mostly Mexican people and some white people as well. So I have Gloria Divina, Mindy Lamore, Tyler, and Ricky, who are all Mexican, and then I have Domino, Layla, and Kennedy, who are white. There aren't any black people on my creative team. And in this moment for me, it ended up happening this way because I did have black people on my creative team. Actually, I had Asian people on my team. I had black people on my team. And then through availabilities and working with people and what's ended up working out best, I ended up with the team that I have now. I used to have Keisha Carr on my team. I used to have Jasmine Rice on my team. And the people that everyone that's been on my team has been an expert in drag. Now, this is just on my team for We're Here. This actually feels very similar to what I'm going through as well, because I do have black people on my, like my lawyer is black. My trainer is black. One of my photographers is black. Two of my hairdressers my wig stylists are black. There's like obviously like lots of black people on my team. But sometimes when you post one specific, I post this one picture and it was just me and these Mexicans and these white people. And everyone's like, see, Bob hates black people. I knew it. And then, so part of me wants to like listen to what people are saying and be like, okay, I'm listening and I'm hearing what you're saying because you're seeing that this particular part of my creative team doesn't have any black people on it. And it's also kind of like our friend here, Queer Coded, that is only a fraction of my team. This is just one part of my team that's on this particular television show, not my team at large. You know what I mean? And of course, in my head, my thing was like, my gut reaction was to defend myself and be like, you don't even know that the DJ that I mainly travel with is black. Whenever we travel, we use almost all black dancers. I've done two full black queer festivals for black queer people where we hire black people, pay them very well for their time and their talents. But also,
very well is debatable.
We paid you less than everyone else. And then we actually, the other one, they're like, great. But then I'm also thinking to myself, like, I don't want to justify that by parading around the people that we, the work that I recognize. Because I don't do it to be able to be like, oh, look what I did, Miss Thing. I do it because several reasons. One, because I love to help and pay Black people. And sometimes it's just because those Black people happen to be the best people for the job as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that in terms of like listening to the critique, you can listen to it. And if it feels valid to you, you can apply it. If you think that there is some room for improvement for yourself, then you can do that as well. What do you think, Mona?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't often get that same critique as Bob, but I do sometimes as well. That, oh, why don't you have this person do your hair? I see none of your designers are Black, and that's just literally not true. Like Bob said, a lot of it is availability. But for your specific circumstance, I know that I don't know because I'm not involved in tech, but I have heard that critique that there aren't a lot of Black people involved in tech, and why aren't they hiring more Black people, et cetera, et cetera. So you're obviously in another industry that people say this to you about your industry a lot. So I understand the frustration, but I mean, I agree with Bob. I mean, you can't like, I'm like, you know that you are making strides to make that happen as best as possible, and you're trying your best to fill that void with Black folk and Black queer people especially. And I get that. So I think if you know that you are doing your due diligence to make that happen and you're trying your best, people gonna have something to say whether you are doing really good or really bad, or whether you're trying really good, or whether you're trying really hard or not. People are going to have something to say regardless of what the fuck you're doing. So as long as you can sleep with yourself at night knowing that you are doing those things to try to make that happen as best as you can, that's all you can do. You cannot do your job to please other people. Well, I guess that's part of it. Having a job is to please your boss and make sure you get fired. But
pleasing customers and pleasing so and so. Yeah, depending on your job.
Yeah, with your job. But in this specific aspect, I think that you're doing the best that you can, and you're gonna have critics regardless of what you do. Bitch, if you hire 10 Black people next year, they'd be like, well, why wasn't it 12? What I'm saying, you're constantly going to be chasing this thing forever and ever and ever. You just do the best that you can and try as hard as you can to make it happen.
Yeah, I can confirm, you know, like I said, I did two entire festivals where we hired, I think between the two, literally about 80 Black queer people. And still people have these criticisms. Yeah. And I'm like, honestly, go off, have your criticism. I'm not saying that your critique is invalid, but I am saying it is not informed.
Right. Ooh, that's good. Ooh, yeah. She knows words today. That's cute.
Yes, informed, which is not a big word. Go do the next question, Mona.
For you, it is.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring, it was gray, it was looking crazy, and I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code RIVALRY to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Let's go on to the next question. Hi, Bob and Monet. Hi, Bob and Monet. I've recently gotten myself involved in a pretty messy situation. I work with this other gay guy named Andy. Who had what I'll call a situationship with this guy named Max. They've been going on dates and fucking for a while, and Max has even taken Andy on vacations. They recently had a pretty bad falling out because Max has a long-distance boyfriend that he is still in love with, so he wanted to keep Andy all hush-hush. The problem is, I am also attracted to Max, but just sexually. Even after they had a big fight and Andy told me not to talk to him, I fucked him anyways. Things have only gotten worse between the two, and when Andy asked me if Max and I had met up, I lied and said we've only been texting. So that night, Andy gets drunk, sees Max at the bar, and confronts him and aggressively tells him to leave me alone and stop talking to me. I have yet to end things with Max because I want front row tickets to see Hamilton. I feel like a horrible friend, but at the same time, I want my cookies. Thoughts? Sincerely, Hamilton tickets. This is...
Okay, Hamilton tickets is messy.
Hamilton tickets is very messy. I have a few questions.
I mean,
though.
Okay, let's try to break it down. Okay, let's break it down. So yeah,
it's a big story.
It sounds like Andy and Max are just fuck buddies,
right?
Because they're calling it a situationship.
Situationship. It's not a relationship. There's a situationship.
But also, I wouldn't put it behind Hamilton tickets to play down. Bitch, they could be fully married, and Hamilton tickets would be like, it's a situationship because they're messy. So it sounds like Max and Andy are fuck buddies, and Hamilton tickets started fucking Max because they think Max is hot, and they want some tickets to Hamilton. So it sounds like they're using Max. It sounds like they're lying to Andy. It sounds like Andy and Max have a tumultuous relationship. It sounds like none of you are being truthful with each other.
Except for Max.
All of you are.
No, Max is being truthful. Max is like, I have a long distance boyfriend that I'm in love with. But Andy, you're here so we can fuck and we can go on vacations.
But is he being truthful? Does his long distance boyfriend know this?
I don't know. Let's you know what? We have him in the call. Let me patch him in.
Yeah, this is wild. I'm going to go ahead and say that there's not a lot of open, honest communication going on here. I think that there's some toxic, there seems to be a lot of toxicity percolating in this dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, I do find that very concerning.
Well, and also, so that night, Andy gets drunk, sees Max at the bar, confronts him, and aggressively tells him to leave me alone and stop talking to me. Bitch, Andy, Max is not your boyfriend. You can't tell him to stop talking to him. Y'all are in a situationship. He has someone that you know that he's in love with, so he doesn't have to listen to you. Because then it's Hamilton Ticket says, I've yet to end things with Max. That means Max is probably at the bar like, Next day, Hamilton Ticket's come over and give me that slurpity slurpity.
Yes, suckity slurpity.
Suckity slurpity. So, I feel like Max seems the only one. I feel like Max is not an innocent bystander, but Max is just literally, he's like, I'm having sex with Andy. Everyone knows who Max is fucking. Max is fucking Andy. He's fucking Hamlet Tickets, and he's fucking his long distance boyfriend.
Girl, Max is getting that dick wet, honey. Max is getting that back broke, getting splickety splack down, honey.
Yeah. But for you, Hamlet Tickets, I think. Honestly, Andy doesn't own Max. I think you can, in my opinion, bitch, still fuck Max as much as you want to. Get those fucking Hamilton tickets. Still have sex with Max. Like, live your life. Andy doesn't, he's not his boyfriend. Andy can mind it. He can have sex with Max too or not. Max is trying to give it to everybody, so I'll take it.
I also have a problem with people who are, like, trying to, like, go out in the world and fuck, like, a lot of people and, like, claim every, like, fucking as many people as possible and claiming them all and being like, I think it's weird when, this is just me, this is where me and Todrick Hall had a huge conversation once. I think it's weird when someone's like, you can't have sex with anyone that I've ever had sex with. I'm like, what? Not, yeah, he didn't say you can't, he's like, I think it's weird for friends to have sex with people that I've had sex with, they're my friends. I'm like, what do you think about that, Monet?
Okay, so like an example. So like, let's say you and I are both having sex with Mateo.
Or you and Mateo used to have sex and then me and Mateo started having sex. Are you like, you can't fuck Mateo? I used to fuck Mateo.
Oh no. I don't think so. No. That wouldn't bother me. What would bother me is Mateo and I were dating, and Mateo and I were a couple, and you and I were best friends, right? And then Mateo and I broke up. Okay, Mateo and Monet
use one of our actual boyfriends to make it easier. Just use one of our exes or current boyfriends to make it easier.
No, it doesn't matter. Y'all were together for a year. Y'all broke up, right? 2 years, five, whatever. How long y'all been together for? 3 years, 4 years now?
4 years. 4 years.
Y'all not been together for 4 years, bitch.
We've been together 4 years.
Three and a half.
Oh, sure. What is this, Price is Right?
You and Jacob together. And then you and Jacob break up. And then me and Jacob get together. But then you and Jacob start fucking again later. I would not be into that. I'm like, that's your ex-boyfriend. You have such a big past with him. I'm not with you fucking him. How do you feel about that?
Okay, that is so complicated. I haven't even considered that. As a notion. I think
you and Jacob were together. Adults, you and Jacob break up.
You know, I got it. I picked it up.
Uh-huh.
I picked it up. I've just never considered this as a notion. I think that consenting adults should be able to have sex with whoever they want as long as everyone consents and no one's being cheated on, no one's being lied to. I don't know that I don't know what it's like to hook up with an ex. I don't have any exes, and I'm like, would I ever fuck my ex? That just sounds crazy. I think
there's so much emotion involved there.
Even though I believe in, I also don't, but that's the thing though. One of my boyfriends is fully has an entire girlfriend that he has a lot of emotion with. So I don't mind my partner having sex with someone that he has a lot of emotion with. Like that doesn't bother me at all.
Work.
Like I'm okay with my partner having sex with someone that he has emotions for.
Work.
I have two partners and I have sex with both and I have a lot of emotions for both.
But again, y'all have also all, y'all are all in polyamory together, so like that's like a different thing too. So it's kind of different.
Yeah, it doesn't have to, I mean, I don't, for me and my partners, they don't have to be having meaningless sex. Their sex can mean something. I don't need to be your only like passionate, meaningful sex. I don't feel possessive over your experiences. I feel possessive over my experiences, but I don't feel possessive over other people's experiences. You know. But I do think it's weird that Andy seems to be possessive over Andy seems possessive over Max's experiences without Max wanting to that's weird. That is very strange, and I think that there's a lot of toxicity in this dynamic between Andy and Hamlet Tickets. quite frankly.
I mean, listen, Hamilton tickets, I say fuck it, fuck Max as long as you can, as long as you want to. Get those Hamilton tickets. Get the Cinderella tickets. Like, fuck him. Like, who cares what Andy thinks? It's not his business. Like, have sex.
Also, everyone was gagging at how straight-faced you were while reading the twincest story last time. But you were reading, like you were reading a recipe for cornbread. You were like, yeah, two scoops of flour, one scoop of butter, and what's going on? What's the matter? Yeah. Preheat the oven to 450. Make sure you grease the pan. I was like, oh my God. And I'm the one from Alabama. Let's read the next one.
Go ahead.
Dear Bob and Monet, I am a tall, bisexual lady, LOL, and I sometimes find it hard to talk to guys who are shorter than me, even when I'm interested in them. Have y'all ever had to adjust your standards when it comes to dating? And do you have any advice on how to do that? Thank you so much. Much love. Sincerely, High Standards. All right, you'll take it first, Mo.
Can I tell the listeners, Jacob is the one writing the names. Jacob, these are really good. I'm very impressed. You're funny.
Jacob's very funny.
Not High Standards. Okay, girl. I feel like I know this story so well. This is... Both of Bob's partners are very short. Bob has no problems dating people that are much smaller, shorter than him. But also, in Bob's relationships, Bob asserts himself as the top and as, you know, as the dom in his relationships. In sexual relationships and romantic ones, I often play a verse role, but more like a sub verse or bottom verse, whatever you want to say. So I have been attracted to guys who are shorter than me, but in a sexual, I always think about the sex. And I'm like, that would be so weird to me. I'm a big, as Bob says, we are big ass niggas. Okay. So the thought of having somebody who is so much smaller than me trying to top me, it's like a mental block. I have not ever figured how to do that. So I've always been attracted to I used to always say at my shows, like, you need to be at least 6'2" to get on this ride. Like, Andy is 6'2". He's literally 6'2".
I feel like I've stood next to Andy, and I am definitely taller than Andy.
Or he's like 6'1", 6'2", something like that. He's taller than me. I'm 5'10 and 3/4".
And I'm a dainty 6'2". I make it look like 6 feet.
So I'm big boned. I'm fat. I'm tall. Like, so I never really gravitate towards really skinny guys or guys who are short, because I just feel like I'm just such a big ass nigga. Like, I just need someone who can hold me down. And Andy is definitely that. I'm very grateful for that. So I feel you. And I mean, and I listen, and
you have given no advice, Monet. All you're saying is, like, fuck them short niggas.
I'm about to tell her. Like, if you feel uncomfortable, I don't think you should pursue into a sexual or romantic relationship that you feel uncomfortable with. I was like, if you know that you want someone who can physically make you feel the way that you want, then that's what you should go for. I don't think you need to change that because you feel like you're being shortest or you're being prejudiced against short or against short guys. I don't think it's that. It's like you just physically don't feel comfortable, and you can't feel sexy if you're dating someone or having sex with someone that doesn't make you feel that way. And I think that's absolutely fine.
See, my advice is on the contrary. So Monet said something that are kind of true, but doesn't scan across the board for me. Both my boyfriends are shorter than me, yes. However, I am very, very attracted to incredibly tall people. Monet knows about that one person in Portland I used to hook up with who's like 6 mm-hmm. whatever. I'm not trying to put their name, because once I say that, everyone will know who I'm talking about. But like, and then you know about, I'm not going to say it, but you know about all the people I've hooked up with.
I know.
Some of them are very tall. I love tall guys. Tall guys are so beautiful. I also love very short guys, and I love average height, blah, blah, blah. And I do think that when I first started like having sex or whatever, I had a very limited view of what I could find attractive. But then I just opened up my mind, and I tried new stuff, and I realized that I think it is possible to shift your perspective on how you view beauty and sexiness in other people. I recommend you listen to a podcast called Tell Me I'm Fat. It's an episode of This American Life. It's an episode of This American Life called Tell Me I'm Fat. It's an episode by the woman who did Shrill, who wrote Shrill. She used to work for Dan Savage, and it's about a woman who had to shift her
perspective. Dan Savage's podcast was really good.
She had to shift her perspective on how she viewed fat people as a fat person. And she was like, I had to decide that fat was sexy. That being fat was not like acceptable, but like sexy. And then she's like, and it worked. And I think that that has worked for me as well over time. And I think that's how I come to a part where I realize that I'm pansexual, that it's not just men for me, that my sexuality goes beyond that. And it's honestly been really freeing for me. And the best thing I can say is just I had to just challenge my notions of what I thought was attractive. And there's still biases that I want to break down in my what I find sexy and what I don't find sexy in the world. I'm not 100%. You know, I still have things that I find attractive and unattractive in people. And you ever notice that people who have a wide palate seem to be having the best sex and the best sex lives? You ever notice that? Like, folks who just, like, are down to fuck with a white palate, they fuck tall guys, short guys, fat guys, skinny guys, they, or people in general, they seem to be having some of the best sex and just living their best lives, and I am very envious of that.
Yeah, I mean, regarding this person, I don't think that the person, I don't think they're saying that. Because you said to shift your perspective. Go ahead.
It's not this woman is saying that she has a hard time dating short guys because she's very tall.
I don't think short guys are unattractive. She's not saying short guys are not attractive. She's saying that she's talking about short guys and how it makes her feel, I think, is what she's saying. And I'm like, going into a situation.
To quote, I sometimes find it hard to talk to guys who are shorter than me, even when I'm interested in them. So it seems some sort of a mental block. So there's some sort of a mental block stopping her from wanting to talk to these people. And I'm saying try to shift your perspective on situations like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was going to be very clear. This person is not saying that short guys aren't attractive or she's not into them. She is into them. She finds them interesting, but it's for her. Like, and I think that going into any situation, yes, you can work on shifting your perspective to like a wider palette of guys. But going into any relationship or any sexual situation, what I think is something that should be at the front of your mind is how. Oh my God, someone in my house. I always feel like someone's breaking into my house.
You always think someone breaking up in your house.
I know. Going in feeling your best and your sexiest, I think that comes first. Because then if you feel sexy, if you feel great, then you're going to have a good time. But if whatever it is, whatever that block is preventing you from feeling sexy, going into the situation is going to be a moot point because it's not going to be good because you don't feel your best. And I feel like that's the most important thing going into sex and going into a relationship, going to a new fucking job is that you feel your best. And if you don't, it's not going to be a good outcome.
Unless you can shift your perspective. For example, I my little belly is like a very big part of insecurity for me. And it was really hard for me whenever someone would touch my belly, for me, I would feel gross. But then after a while, both my partners were like, I like your belly. I like your belly the way it is. And it allows me to feel sexy. Even if my partner touches my stomach during sex or grabs my belly while we're in the house just hugging or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? They're not making fun of me. They're seeing this. They're seeing my beauty, not despite my belly, but maybe even because of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it allows me to be like, oh, wow, I'm actually able to not be so self-conscious because of this part of my body, you know?
Will you let me touch your belly?
If you want to touch my belly, Monet, you can touch me. You probably touch my belly. I smack your ass all the time. So, yes, you can touch my belly. I think I smack Monet's ass more than I smack my own partner's asses.
So high standards. Keep us also, guys. When we answer these, like, if you have some updates, we'll try to keep in touch because I would love to know how some of this stuff plays out. Like, I want to know who was the last person that gets Max's dick. I want to know who gets the last Maxi dicky.
Oh my God! Yeah, let's do a reunion episode.
Let's move on to the next question. Dear Bob and Monet, Our friend has a new boyfriend, and everybody in our gossipy gay friend group hates him. Girl, he's not done anything terrible. Right. He's just kind of a basic bitchy twink who thinks he's hot shit but is annoying. I love my friend, but I just can't stand his boyfriend. Do I tell him how I feel? How do I move forward with friend? Sincerely, over it. Girl, we've been there with a friend before. You said you've been there with me before. Okay, it was just you. It wasn't everybody. It was literally just you.
Down the line, I told you I didn't really care much for your boyfriend. It wasn't like this. He's a basic, dumb, bitchy twink. I was just like, I don't think I like this guy. And I've had this with a few of my friends. And my rule of thumb is I don't like someone's boyfriend, I don't say anything. I shut my mouth. I shut my fat ass up. I sit there and I don't say anything because it is not my business. They will figure it out on their own. I don't want to lose my friend because I think that it'll honestly, if they're like not good, they'll end up breaking up anyway. I don't want to lose my friend and have them lose their partner. Then what was the point? I don't say anything. Unless I think this person is like truly bad, like if I think they're like abusive or like on a mental or physical level, or if they're like a thief, or if they're like, you know, stealing from them or something like that, that which is also a form of abuse, then I would say something. But if it's just like, I don't like her, I don't say anything.
Yeah, I'm with that. I mean, I'm not as much as Bob. Bob is like, will not say anything, whatever. Like if someone thinks someone I really don't like, and I'm like, If this is a boyfriend, you have to be around this person. You have to hang out with them. Like you're gonna be forced to occupy a lot of space with this person. So I think if I really did not like one of Bob's boyfriends, like, it like fucking bothered me. It was literally keeping me up at night. I would tell you. I would be like, Bob, can we talk? I'm like, I don't know what this means, but Jacob, I don't know. He's this, he's that, he's XYZ. And I don't know what that would mean for me and Bob, but also Bob is a level-headed person. Bob would take offense with it a little bit, and then we would figure something out. But I would have to. I don't know. I could not just stomach that for what, a year, two, three, 5 years? I couldn't stomach that.
Or you could shift your perspective on
how you shift these nuts, nigga. Shift these nuts. So yeah, I mean, so if it's like that bad, like if everybody hate him, there has to be a moment where y'all all hang out together. Y'all could be like, girl, what's the tea with Danny? And like maybe like just drop little hints, like, girl, why? Like just like suss it out a little bit. Like don't go full throttle. Like Danny's this. I don't like his fucking hair. His mother is a fucking dumb bitch. Like just like a little thing. Like, girl, what was up with that thing that Danny did? And just see how the boyfriend, how your friend responds, and then you can navigate that.
Well, also the thing about me is this is something about me too. I will call out the behavior in the person directly, but I won't make it Monet's business. I'll be like, hey, Danny, I don't like when you do this, this, and this. But I won't be like Monet. I don't like when Danny does this, this, and this, because that's not right. Danny's. That's not Monet's business. That's Danny's business. So right. I have told my friends' boyfriends that I don't like their behavior. I've never said I don't like you, but I have been like, this. I don't like the way you do this. I don't like how you did that. Don't ever do that to me again. Don't ever do that around me again. I've done that before for sure. Me and Alfredo's boyfriend had it out one time because he bought someone in my house one time. Anyway, but I don't. But I don't bring it to the partner because it's not their problem.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not their parents. They're their partners. You know.
Yeah.
So, that's our humble advice. We have a few more. All right, here we go. Dear Bob Monet, I have been dating a guy that I met in California. I live in Texas. He's way more experienced and open sexually than how I was raised to be. Even talking about sex makes me nervous. Okay. When he recently told me that he was interested in pegging, I immediately changed the subject. Will you both help and tell me how I can get out of my head sexually to be open to try new things? I've only had vanilla sex in the past, but I get no pleasure from it. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
So I want to explore. Sincerely, a whole new world.
Oh, my God, whole Jacob. Spelled H-O-L-E.
Okay, so it sounds like you're with a guy who wants to you to strap up and peg him.
Love that.
I'm really shocked at this part that says I've only had vanilla sex in the past and I had get no pleasure from it, baby.
That's a lot of women
enjoying sex. Baby, if you're not enjoying sex, you need to change up the game, honey.
That's a lot of women.
If you're not enjoying sex, obviously you have to be doing it. Baby, you got it. I mean, this sounds like one of those scenarios, someone who's like, I've never had an orgasm before. I mean, you don't enjoy sex at all. Baby, something is, I mean.
You can enjoy the act of sex and not get pleasure. Like, you can like getting penetrated, but doesn't mean that you're getting off. You know what I mean? So I think that could also possibly be it.
I assume that this person meant like, I get no pleasure, like not just physical, but like, I don't like it. I get no pleasure from sex, not just no physical pleasure. But I might be reading into that too much, to be honest. You know? I mean, obviously, if you're pegging someone, you're not going to get actual physical pleasure. It's going to be more of a... Actually, that's not true, because, you know, sometimes when pegging, you can actually get clitoral stimulation as well.
Yeah, about to say, yeah, they have the little attachment you can put on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of pegging is for the person doing the pegging is a mental thing.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, because I've never pegged anyone. I've never worn a strap-on. I don't have a vagina. So I don't know how that actually works. But I can say that I think you gotta try, this man may have landed in your hands at the right time in the right place to show you, I can show you the world. This might be the moment.
Yeah, I think, so you want to find out how you can get out of your head sexually. I think maybe what it can start with, because you said that you don't, like, even sometimes talking about sex makes you nervous. So maybe y'all can start with getting a dirty magazine, looking that together. That can graduate to watching, maybe watching porn pics together online. That can graduate to watching porn together online. I think
You know what else they could do, Monet? You just reminded me. Maybe you can start with texting.
Yeah, texting, text, dirty text. That's a great way to start.
Wow, you can just send some dirty text. Even if you're texting someone in the room, that can be hot and very sexy.
Oh, very sexy. I think that can be very sexy. Then if when y'all go out to dinner, after you do the text, you can graduate to like maybe like at dinner, just whispering something to him whispering something to you that's dirty, like stuff like that. So you could just get more comfortable with getting, and again, it doesn't have to be dirty, like, I want you to take your fucking penis and annihilate my pussy through my mouth. Like, you don't have to be all that. You can just be like, I really wasn't even sexy.
You weren't even trying. You were just writing, was that an excerpt from Coldest Winter Ever? Was that a Sister Soldier book you were reading?
It can be something really simple, like, I really wish I was kissing you right now. I really wish I was touching your penis right now. Like just small things that just get you going, so you can get a little bit more comfortable. You can start watching porn together and doing that, and that can graduate. Because then also when you get in porn, you can get inspired. You can be like, oh, what is that toy? And then maybe y'all can take a trip to a porn store together, and y'all can buy like little things. Like, just, I think it's a gradual thing. But I think starting with text, what Bob said, I think that's a great way to start. That's a great way. That way you're not saying it. You don't have to look at his reaction in time. You can text it, press send, and just wait to get it back and then see what happens. I think that's a great way to start.
Yeah, try sending a dirty text when you're apart from each other, and then maybe try sending a dirty text when you're together in the same house. Yeah. Maybe not in the same room, but in the same house when they leave the room. And then if you really want to get kind of spicy, send a dirty text when you're with your friends, but you're just texting each other. But it also depends on the partner you have, because we, like, one of our friends, Patty's that friend that if you try to text, like, if I try to text Patty something shady about Monet, before Patty reads it, Patty looks at the phone and goes, Bob, why are you texting me? And I'm like, nigga, shut the hell up.
That is very Patty. That's because Patty's loyal, unlike Kennedy that just let anything fly. That's why. If you want to submit questions for sibling advisory, we're not trying to gatekeep the advice, but you know, you have to be a patron of ours. We keep it behind the paywall. So you want to submit a question for advisory, we put a form on our Patreon. You can submit it there. And again, we encourage audio submissions, so we can get a feel for who you are and your vibe and your temperament, so we can help you a little bit and give advice that's curated more for you.
And if you want to join our Patreon, please go to siblingrivalrypodcast.com/support. That is siblingrivalrypodcast.com/support. All right.
All right. Those are some good questions today.
I love you very much. So let this be the beginning of the hair journey. We are at day one, not even 24 hours. I'm going to put my bandana on right now. so that I can bandana. Wake up my ass.
I like
ass
that color banana, actually. Gymnasium. It's really cute.
This is Hunter Green. This stands for Daddy and Son Play. It's not my hanky. I have engaged in some daddy and son play in my life.
Have you? This is
strictly a coincidence. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I don't think I've ever done a daddy and son thing. No. Oh, Jacob just put his camera on for the daddy and son thing. So you and Jacob be daddy and son?
Oh, that's not what I was going to say.
All right, y'all. Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.